Well, I'm so glad to be here. Like I said, we've had a great time. I do want to talk to you today. This is a sermon that I really enjoy. I've had the opportunity to preach it a couple of times, and it's one that I've continuously, I go back and I work over and work over. And God, I mean, it's not the same story. It's not the same sermon that we started out with 2 years ago. This one's been totally different, and it's in this one I went ahead and changed it again for you guys because it means so much to me. The title of my sermon is going to be Identity Theft. Identity theft. Let me tell you a quick story that you'll think is funny, but I didn't at the time. We came over here, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I decided that I was going to go over to the ATM and get some money out of it, because that's easy enough. And I went over there with my credit card, slid it in there, and it asked for my PIN number, the security or PIN number. I didn't know it, because it's the church's card. I didn't know it. See, you know, for me, I can in America, I can slide my bank card in, and I get four tries, and it spits my card out and says, you know, try again later. And I slid it in there, and it said, do you know it? And I said, no, so I hit cancel. And that machine made a very disapproving noise to me and never gave me back my card. Yeah, that was how I was going to eat and everything. But God stepped in, God provided. But at the time, you know, you guys have cameras everywhere, so I couldn't punch this thing, but I wanted to. I was so mad. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Because we'd had just all kinds of little things pop up. You know, little things. Whenever you're doing God's work, little things will try to slow you down. Little weights get hooked onto you, trying to slow you down so you can't do God's word. But that's whenever we can push through. Because when the day comes when those weights are cut off, we're going to run faster than we ever did before. And so whenever those things were dragging me down, I said, you know what? We're just going to keep going. But the reason why that machine takes that card is because it said, this card's not from around here. Somebody could have stole this card, and because they don't know the security code or the PIN, there you go. Thank you all. You'll have to do that a lot more, just let you know. The PIN number, because you don't know the PIN number, we're taking this card in case it's stolen. That way we can prevent identity theft. And right there, I'm thinking, wow, this thing is smarter than I am, because it knows that in order to protect the person who owns the card, if the one holding it doesn't understand what's going on with it, then they need to lock it up. They need to stop it. And I was like, that's great. That's a good deal. But, you know, each and every one of us, I think, have suffered from identity theft in one way or another. Maybe not the way that we label it in today's world, but each and every one of us struggle with our own identity. I got 3 points that I want to go through, 3 questions basically to ask you. And the first one is, what do people call you? Like I said, this week we had a great time. Grant was being called many names. He was Monkey Boy, he was Bones, he was Grant, he was Hey Dude, he was that guy, and he was Fred Flintstone. He was all kinds of names, but none of those names are who Grant really is. None of those names are the true identity, but that's what people called Grant. You see, in our own lives, we have people who call us things all the time. And if we're not careful, we begin to take on those identities. We begin to take on those things that we are being called. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says this. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? You see, the Pharisees were the leaders at that time, and they were the church leaders. They were the pastors of the area. They were the people who ran the synagogues. They were the Pharisees. And what they said went, and tax collectors were scum, such scum. They emphasized that. These people are dirt. These people are worthless. These people are scum. Tax collectors began to believe that. But one day, a rabbi named Jesus came and went to Matthew, a tax collector, somebody who nobody liked at all. And he said, follow me. Because he knew that Matthew wasn't a bad guy. You see, in the Bible days, your name meant a whole lot more than it does now. I know my name is Israel, but I really don't draw from the meaning of it like most people, like some people did. There, did you know that the name Matthew actually means gift from the Lord? You see, the Pharisees never recognized the gift from the Lord that Matthew really was. But instead, they labeled him as such scum. What do people call you? Are you living your life by what people tell you you are? Because if you are, I got to tell you that that's wrong. You are never meant to be called those things. People will always try to label you for your sins. Liar, thief, you name it. You can fill in the blank right now. You've had people who have called you names, who have called you things that deep down still hurt, things that you have not let go of yet, things that you remember very well, and part of you is still drawing out of that. You've got to learn to let go of it. You've got to learn to give it over to God. Sometimes we search for people to call us positive things. Don't we all like being called something positive? You know, it blesses my heart to hear you guys say, hey, that we were a great group. I mean, that blesses me to death because I'm going, that was my goal. I wanted to come to Ireland and be known that we were a good group. If we left being a good group, then we are good. And that's what I wanted. I don't want to come here and be a bad group, okay? So, but whenever we are being told that we are good or we're being told positive things, you're great. You're awesome. You look really good today. Hey, I like your hair. These positive things lift us up. It's actually life being spoke back into us. And some of us long for that so much. We long for people to say positive things that we put weight in almost all their words. We begin to think, well, if I do this way, then they'll like me. Or if I do it that way, that they'll like me. Maybe they'll call me this. Maybe they'll call me that. Maybe I can be part of this or that. We try so hard to match up so other people call us the right things that we miss out what really matters. It doesn't matter what everybody's calling you. Because the words of people singing praises over you is nothing in comparison to the Almighty God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. There's a story that we used for the kids this week about a man named Gideon. And I'm sure some of you have heard that story. Gideon was just a little guy, smallest of his clan, and he was hiding from the enemy. But God came to him and said, you're going to be a mighty warrior for me, and you're going to fight the big battle. You're going to do what you need to do to set my people free and to help them. And you know what? That's what Gideon ended up doing. But he had believed all of his life that he was so little and so insignificant, it took an angel of God to come down and say, no, Gideon. You're going to be a warrior for me. We need to learn what voice to listen to. Are you listening to the voice of people that are saying that you're worthless, you're not good enough? Because if you are, I've got to tell you this, that it's all lies. The only weapon that the devil has is lies to you. The only weapon that the devil can use against you as a Christian is just, the only thing he can do is just try and attack you in your mind. That's the only place he can get you at. Other things may come up and bad things may happen and choices you may make that are bad. But you know what the devil's trying to really do? If he can steal your identity, your true identity, and get you believing that you're something else or someone else, he's got it made. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but you know what? He's willing to compromise with just rendering you ineffective. If he can slow you down and stop you, he's willing just to do that. Number two thing that I have to ask you today is, what do you call yourself? If you know what people call you, then here's the next thing that you'll end up doing, is you'll either realize what you call yourself or you'll realize what they call you, you believe. But ultimately, it goes back to that. It's the last decision. What are you going to call yourself? And I want to just kind of throw this out there. Before you get mad at me, you may be in here and hear something I say, and you may say, that doesn't sit well with me. Well, just understand, let me finish and get through this, and it'll all make sense. And if it doesn't, then forgive me, and we'll go on. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, it says this. This is continuing on from whenever he went to go eat with the tax collectors. We just got done hearing the Pharisees say, why does your master go eat with such scum? And then here's Jesus' reply. When he heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come not to those who think that they are righteous, but to those who know they are sinners. To be a Christian, you got to be a little humble. You've got to realize that we all mess up. You got to realize that we all have sin in our lives. You got to realize that we can't live that perfect life that we desire. And none of us are righteous on our own. You see, there's a point, I know for me in ministry, whenever I got to a point, I thought almost in the back of my mind that I had reached a plateau. Oh, I'm good. I've arrived here. I've come to a spot now that I'm living a good life. I'm doing everything right. Nothing should be going wrong. But you know what? That's not true. Being a Christian doesn't make life perfect. It makes it a lot easier because you got God to walk with you, but it doesn't make it perfect. You're still going to have struggles. You're still going to have challenges. But if we walk around believing that we have done enough, that we have worked hard enough and long enough to make it to heaven, we've missed the whole point of Scripture. Because it's not by what we do, and it's not by the righteous deeds which we have that get us to heaven, but it's by what Christ did for us. It's through His righteousness. We are only righteous through the blood of Christ, not by our own works, not by the things we do with our hands. Those are simply things we do to show Jesus that we're crazy about Him and we love Him. You see, here, the Pharisees were calling themselves righteous. And because they thought they were righteous, they thought that they were above everybody else. I think the highest part you can be, the highest place you can be, is serving people. The highest place you can be is washing people's feet. The highest place you can be is serving people food. Serving is where it's at. That's where it goes. So many of us start fooling ourselves, believing in that we are righteous and believing that we are good enough and believing that we've done enough. But it's not about that. It's not about being good enough, doing enough, making up for. I had a relative of mine, it was actually my brother, who told me, I've done a lot of things in my past that I'm trying to make up for. A lot of things in my past that I'm trying to make amends, basically, with God for. And I said, Jordan, that's stupid. Why are you trying so hard to fight your past? Why are you trying so hard to claim victory over it whenever Christ already did that 2,000 years ago? You don't have to make amends for what you did. Once Christ is in your life and you've asked for forgiveness, then that's washed away. The mercy of God has overflown over that, and you no longer have to worry about it. Why are you trying so hard to make up for your past? You're fighting air. You're just fighting air. Your past was never meant for you to fight. It was meant for Christ to reclaim for you. Something else that I want everybody to kind of hear real quick is this. That God will never consult your past when He's planning your future. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you did, what you're going through right now. That doesn't really matter to God. Because here's the almighty thing that God does is that whenever He looks at you, the Bible says that He sees the depths of our hearts and He loves us the same. He's looking clear through all of your sin. He's looking to the true you, to the one and only soul that you can't even see. And He says, that's who I love. I may not love some of the things you do, but I'm crazy about you. So crazy about you that I've numbered every hair on your head. So crazy about you that whenever you look in the sky and you see the sun rise and it makes you smile, oh man, that just makes God happy. Because He says, I made you smile today. Oh, if I can make you smile, that's all I wanted. I just wanted you to be happy. You know, God cares so much about each and every one of us. It's unbelievable. And if we ever fully grasp the true love of Christ and the true love of God over our lives, it would turn your world upside down. And every step, every day that we grow, we need to be getting a little bit newer glimpse of it. I've got a whole bunch wrote down here, but I'm going to skip a little bit. Growing in love with Jesus a lot of times comes from feeling the pain of your own sin and realizing that He took the punishment. And maybe this one will hit home to a lot of us because I know it did me. Let me just tell you a little pastor secret. Normally, if a pastor's wrote a sermon, God's dealt with him through the process. The pastor will spend about a week or so on that sermon, and while he's doing it, God is stretching that man, and he's changing him. And so if the pastor comes up and he's eating and he's doing the sermon, just know that he's eating it again. He's going through it again. He's having to deal with it again. Because I know right now I'm having to be reminded one more time. Israel, have you taken a check to your heart? Have you took a moment and really went back over your sins and thought about how much Christ has done for you? Our sins are not there for us to feel guilty about or to beat ourselves up about. But let's look back just for a second at the things we've done wrong and think about this. Think about all the stuff you did, and now think about the Almighty Jesus who just washed it away with his blood. If you would really just take time and look at the sin and go back and feel the pain to the point where you cry out, oh, how miserable person am I? How wretched am I? Oh, Christ, why did you die for a sinner like me? Whenever you get to that moment where you know, oh, was I worth it? Was I worth it? And Christ says every time, yes, you were. Yes, you were. I want to read this real quick. In Psalms 126, verse 5, it says, those who sow with tears will reap songs of joy. Those who sow with tears will reap songs of joy. I think the times I get most into worship, the times I'm going after God and worship the hardest is whenever I'm looked back and I've been crying tears over the things that he's had to cover in my life. Whenever I look back and I see all the times that I should have died and he spared my life. All the things and accidents that I've gotten into that very easily I could be gone today. I could not be here, but God stepped in. Jesus intervened and saved my life. I look back at trying to get this missions team together and planning this since back in January, trying to prepare this, and the money didn't come, and we worked. I've never worked harder for a dollar in my life. But at the last moment, the floodgates of heaven opened up, and boom, we got it. God just showed up. And it's in that moment we begin to cry tears, and we begin to sow songs of joy, because we know in that moment that God stepped in and he's done an amazing thing. The last thing that I want to ask you is this. What does God say about you? This is the most important point of them all. Because when it all gets down to it, this is the one that, if all else you didn't hear, this point I want you to listen to. Because if we know the identity that God has for us, that's our true identity. That's what he wants us to know. That's what he wants us to be remembering, what he calls and says we are. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 10, it says, God said to him, your name shall be Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. You will be named Israel. I want you to know about the story about Jacob. I'm pretty sure a lot of you have probably heard it. For those of you that haven't, Jacob was actually had a twin. And whenever they were being born, Jacob was the second one to come out. And so the name Jacob actually means one who follows after. How would you like to be known as the one who follows after? Never the leader, but always the follower. Second place all times. That's what Jacob grew up knowing. And as he grew closer to being mature, and he went out on his own, and there's a whole lot more to that story. You'll have to go look it up in Genesis. It got to a point where he became close to God. And one night, God decided to test Jacob. And God decided he'd go fight Jacob. And so God and Jacob get into a fight. This is the first time you'll ever see anybody in the Bible who ever got in a fight with God. And rolled around in the desert for a long time, fighting each other. I mean, it's kind of like some of the kids this week. I don't know how many times I saw the boys. They would just be on top of each other, like fighting and all that. I have to go, like, hey guys, let's go over here. You don't have to do that. And they're hilarious. It was great. Oh, maybe smile every time. But after they fought in the desert, God said, okay, Jacob, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not letting you go till I get my blessing. And just like God does, God, you know, he's almighty, he's awesome, and he always brings an answer we don't expect. He just simply reached over and touched Jacob's hip, and it went out of place. Why would you do that, God? I think it was so Jacob would be reminded every step he took about that night he wrestled with God, about the blessing and the promise that God had given him and over his life. There's a lot of things that we're going to walk through, and a lot of thorns in the flesh, and a lot of things that make us hurt through life. But can we just let those be, not say that we don't allow God to change it or heal it. I say that we need to do that and rely in faith that he will do so. But I think that God allows us to go through some things just to give us a reminder of what we've been through, what we've gone through, and the promises and blessings that he has over our lives. Sometimes we have to fight for our blessings with God. But the cool thing that Jacob got was after he fought with God, that God said, you know what? You're not going to be called Jacob anymore. You're not the one who follows after, but your name will be Israel. And we all know that that's where the country of Israel gets its name now. It's actually back from this one man. So what a blessing it is. What a blessing it was for him to have his name changed. Maybe some of you in here today need your name changed. Need the identity that you've fallen into switched around. The identity that you've been living your life out of totally and radically removed. And the vision of God put over you so you could be shown the exact plans that he has for you. The name Israel actually means one who struggles with God. I don't know why my parents gave me that name. But I can tell you, there's a lot of times I struggle with God. There's a lot of times I have a hard time with him. And I'm just going, God, why this? And he's like, did I get off the throne? No, you still sit there. Well, then trust me on it. Just follow me. I've got a plan. I got a direction. But you don't need to know it all. Okay. Psalms 91:14, it says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will call on him, and he will answer me. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a beautiful verse, and I love it very much. But here's the thing about reading the Bible. Until we apply it to our lives, until we put ourselves in the scripture, you can read through it and you will not catch the meaning, the full meaning that you need to catch. Let me reword it just a little bit for you. Because you love me, says the Lord, I'll rescue you. I'll protect you. For you acknowledge my name, you will call on me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble and I will deliver you and I'll even honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. What a promise. What a promise God has for you. Because you serve me, because you love me, because you care about me. Notice that scripture didn't say, if you love me, if you. No, it says, because you. And that means that this is a promise unto you. And that promise is that he's going to rescue you. He'll protect you. He's going to acknowledge you. He's going to answer your prayers. He's going to help you through troubled times. He's going to deliver you. And God's even going to honor you. God honor us? That blows me away that the Almighty God of this universe would honor us, but he's going to honor you. In Psalms 56, verse 8, it says, you keep track of all my sorrows. And you collect them all my tears in a bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. God's crazy about you. You know what God calls you? God calls you his own. It says in the Bible that we were adopted into God's line. We are now kings and queens under God, brothers and sisters with Christ Jesus. You want to know what your identity is? It's child of the one and only God. One and only God. Don't ever let the identity which you've created or somebody else has created for you or the devil's put in your mind take over, because that has nothing to do with the Almighty God. You're a child of God. And you don't have to settle for what anybody else calls you. Last scripture, and then Rob's going to come and close us out. But I want you to know that today God really does want to do something great in your life. God really does want to change and give you a new way of thinking. God is not mad at you. God loves you and he cares about you. He's crazy about you. And today he wants to show you something new. He wants to show you something great. And he wants to break down some chains. There's an expression that we use a whole bunch back in America called loaded for bear. And that means loaded for anything, ready to go. And that's what God was telling me. He says, Israel, I'm loaded for bear. There's not a thing you can bring, not a thing you can take to God that he's not going to handle today. He's going to tackle it for you. He's going to take care of it. He's loaded for bear. He's ready to go. So be ready. Psalms 139:13 says, for you have created me and created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And he is going to finish the great work he started in each and every one of you. Pastor Rob.